A mission to spread peace during an over 2,000-mile walk making its way through the heart of Colombia this afternoon. That message resonating with our community. You can see hundreds of people welcoming the Buddhist monks at Gervais Street Bridge earlier today. That journey starting 3 months ago, believe it or not, out in Texas with a 2,300-mile trek to Washington, D.C. Their steps now guiding them through parts of South Carolina. And just yesterday, they were in Lexington County, drawing in crowds from both near and far.
I think it definitely gives us hope. I'm glad that we got to witness this. I think that it's going to be a part of history, a good thing to look back. But more importantly, just really hope.
Every city that these monks have traveled through, like, there's been so much outreach and like communities come together. And to see that in the city that I'm living in with my family, that's honestly an awesome experience.
I think it's great that the city came out, you know, everybody from different backgrounds coming to support the walk for peace. I think that no matter what religion you are, you should come out and just show support for peace.
People also bringing that same energy to the State House steps today as the monks brought their words of peace to the front steps. Lena Allen was there and shares how many were moved by that moment of peace.
A walk for peace, bringing hundreds together on the grounds of the State House.
It's amazing that this walk took its turn through our city and through our state in a time where we really needed it. We need it as a community.
Colombia Mayor Daniel Rickman and Senator Dion Tedder declaring January 10th the Walk of Peace Day in Colombia. That gratitude also coming from the massive crowd that came to witness the peace movement heard around the world.
For different folks and different walks of life to be here to gather peacefully, it means a lot for us, especially in front of the Capitol.
It touches you in the heart and you get goosebumps and I probably cry.
So far, the monks have walked 1,525 miles of their 2,300 journey. For the past 3 months, they've woken up at 4 a.m., tired and some even injured. But still, 6 states later, their message remains the same.
Let us now let go of all the hatred, all those angers. Let all those cease within loving kindness and compassion so that peace can be bloom and flourish throughout this country and around the world.
As people witness what they're describing as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, many are hoping the Walk of Peace will inspire even greater unity throughout the nation.
If anyone sees a monk, they just need to know that they walk for peace all the time and they don't want any violence in the world.
The monks will stay overnight at the Lutheran Theological Seminary on North Main Street. The community is welcome to visit them there until 9 p.m. Lena Allen, WIS News 10.
Like so many people in that interview, I'm so inspired by the monks who are walking from Texas to Washington, D.C. for peace. There's a group of 19 monks involved. They come from the Vietnamese Buddhist temple in Fort Worth, Texas. They set out on October 26th, which interestingly was the day that I finished my 220-mile walk. Coincidence. You know, they're inspired, of course, by the teachings of Buddha, and they're aiming to raise, and I quote this, awareness of peace, loving kindness, and compassion across America and the world. So we're looking at what? Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and that was Columbia, South Carolina, we heard from. And next would be North Carolina, Virginia, and then ending in Washington, D.C., where they will ask Congress to recognize Buddha's Day of Birth and Enlightenment as a federal holiday. Now, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen, but that's a good ask, a simple one. So this is being organized as a spiritual practice, not a protest. The monks, again, they're trying to spread peace, compassionate, loving kindness through not so much public displays and conversation, but through just their silent footsteps. They have their means of support with them, but the local communities along the way have been providing tremendous hospitality, food, you know, shelter, water. And one thing they say is they only accept what's freely given, so they aren't actually asking for stuff. One quote says, quote, "The journey is a living message of mindfulness for a divided nation." And yeah, we sure are a divided nation, as we just discussed in the previous conversation. They are walking about 20 miles a day on average, which is a lot. I mean, when we did the Great March for Climate Action, that was 15.6 miles on average. We did have a day that went, I think, 24 miles. Sometimes their days are as much as 30 miles. They often sleep outdoors in their tents, but again, sometimes they're staying in local churches, community, you know, centers, universities, religious institutions. So three of the monks, I think there's 14 altogether, three of the monks are walking barefoot. They're carrying signs. They're kind of focused on silent marching. They are, as you heard, one monk did give, you know, share some remarks at the state capitol in Columbia, South Carolina. There's some interesting stories from people along the way, including Audrey Pierce, who joined the crowd in Columbia. She drove 4 hours from Little River, and she was all teary when one of the monks handed her a flower. She said, quote, "There's something traumatic and heart-wrenching happening in our country every day. And I looked into the eyes of the monks and I saw peace. They're putting their bodies through such physical torture, and yet they radiate peace." There was another story from a pastor in Opelika, Alabama, Pastor Patrick Hitchman Craig. He hosted the monks on Christmas night at his United Methodist Church. And, you know, he expected to see a small crowd show up to support them, but about 1,000 people showed up. You know, and he said that created the feel of a block party. He said the monks seemed like the Magi appearing on Christ's birthday. I'll read a quote from what he had to say. "Anyone who is working for peace in the world in a way that is public and sacrificial is standing close to the heart of Jesus, whether or not they share our tradition. I was blown away by the number of people and the diversity of who showed up." So it hasn't all been roses, of course. Again, some of the monks, if you look at them walking, you can see they've got bandages on their feet. There was an incident in Texas where a truck, I think it was accidental, it struck the group's escort vehicle, and that plowed into the monks, and two of them were injured. One was just treated for minor injuries, I believe, at the site. The second monk, sadly, had to be flown to hospital in Houston, had to have his leg amputated, which is terrible. So there have also been some Christian fundamentalists along the road that have shouted objections and held signs criticizing their beliefs. There's one video of a devout Baptist who's arguing with one of the monks, but it's a very polite argument, and they both express love and concern for each other. The Christian perspective this guy believes in is that anybody who doesn't accept Jesus is going to go to hell. And the monk is saying, you know, it's okay that we have differences of opinion. So I do want to play one clip relevant to that for you.
"A way of death and believing a lie. Folks, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be there, just you and God. And the only thing that's going to matter is, do you know Jesus Christ in truth? Not if you walk 2,300 miles, not if you believe we all come from energy, not if you do all the good deeds that you can think of, not if you go and you start to do good even though you're wicked. None of that can save you. Only Jesus, by his shed blood, who he died 2,000 years ago and rose again 3 days later in fulfillment of the scriptures, which those Buddhists reject. Yet you support them only through him, the one who is the chief cornerstone and rejected by his own people, is salvation."
Yeah, interestingly, I mean, he was the first person I heard about who was objecting to the march was very polite and civil. And this guy, not so much. He was very accusatory. And he also seemed to be kind of on his own. I mean, by and large, nearly everybody these monks are meeting with is moved by their sacrifice, their message. And I think that's very empowering to me. It's very, very indicative of both of how what a problematic position we find ourselves in these days, but also how a perspective on the importance of being peaceful oneself and grounded in one's own values, providing those values are you know, genuinely moral and upright, how powerful that can be. So there's I will say the most popular participant in the monks' march is not one of the monks. It's a dog named Aloka. This dog is a stray dog. He was a stray dog found in India, and he did an earlier peace walk in India with one or more of these. I think just one of these monks, and there was even a sign in one of the videos, "Aloka for President." So just as of today, Monday, the 12th of January, the dog is undergoing surgery for a leg injury. And I can't imagine how tough it is to walk 20 miles a day as a human and as a dog with much shorter legs. Yeah, you've got four of them instead of two, but still 20 miles a day, 30 miles a day. That's really tough. And I speak from some experience on that because my son Ben and his dog Diggy joined us on the Great March for Climate Action back in August of 2014. And we walked 52 miles in under 48 hours. It was 3 days. We started one day quite late and then finished the final day, you know, around mid-afternoon. So in 48 hours, we'd walked 52 miles, and that dog did every step of the way. But as my son said, he was dog tired. So this is very encouraging to me. And, you know, so what is the appeal of this walk? You know, it's a... I guess it could be the uniqueness. A bunch of guys in orange robes and bald heads walking with bare feet in some cases. You know, there's a certain discipline to it. They don't walk side by side. They walk in a single file. They aren't talking. They're focused on their walking as meditation, as prayer. And, you know, I've been involved with two long marches back in 1987, coordinating the Iowa stretch of the Great Peace March, and of course in 2014, organizing and doing the Great March for Climate Action. And on both marches, there was always some sense of confrontation, some sense of we're right, you're wrong. And yeah, I do believe that our positions are right, but I think perhaps sometimes the confrontation wasn't the best approach. And maybe this approach is more effective in terms of getting people to, you know, to accept the value of what you're trying to teach, what you're trying to convey. Anyway, I'm very moved by it, and I know a lot of people around the country have been. I kind of wish they were coming through Iowa. I'm not inclined to head out to North Carolina to catch the next week of the march, but I think what they're doing is very cool, and I hope when they get to Washington D.C., they're not all rounded up and put into detention and deported. We'll see. I mean, I don't hold anything, you know, I don't rule out any possibility